maybe the best things of this is John's Stoicism, because these are my philosophies of life that I want to share with you, things that I feel are important. And today was going to be a series on be careful who you complain to, because half the people think you deserve it and the other half don't care. So these are just little mottos of life that I have, but I think today I'll just kind of just do another snapshot of a message that I already titled, but it's really my philosophy of life and where it came from. It's just called Too Stupid to Quit. So I used, as the beginning passage, the widow's story in 2 Kings 4:3. I described this widow who was at the end of a rope. Her husband, you see Russ, her husband was, hey Sean, can you get him, or Andrew, can you get him a pen? Can you do that? Her husband was a prophet, a minute, it's up there in the top there. Usually I wouldn't ask you to put your hands in the basket, Andrew, but today I'm going to let you. It's a special day. After that Atlantic City episode that we're not going to mention. That's kidding. Yeah, dang it, not again. So here's a desperate woman. I've talked about her many times, and she's at the edge of a rope. And I always thought it was interesting that here's a person who really probably heard from God herself. I mean, you would assume that a person who is married to a prophet would have had some experience with tapping into the will of the Lord and understanding things in a prophetic nature. And I just saw her as very exasperated. Is that, am I saying the right word? Exasperated. There we go. And what I want to talk about today, what I'm feeling really strong in my spirit, is to go kind of tap into that message. And I'll talk to you about a story, and then I'll talk to you about what I think is going on. You know, the scriptures mandate us to lift one another's burdens. It goes as far as to saying that when we lift one another's burdens, we actually are fulfilling the law of Christ or the love of Christ. And when we say the law of Christ, as modern people, our imagination tends to gravitate towards the idea that you know, that it's a principle, because we really don't have laws in this country. I mean, we're fortunate to not have to will by or live our life by the will of a sovereign to where it's mandated. But obviously, Jesus' connection and Paul's connection to the law was very different than yours and mine. The law meant something very different to a first century Palestine individual, Palestinian. And Paul and Jesus both had that in mind when he was talking about the relationship of the law of Christ. What we're talking about is the will of the sovereign, the absolute, unyielding, not just principle, but command that we should live that way. So it's a command that we should bear one another's burdens, and thereby we're fulfilling this law of Christ. And interestingly enough, most of the New Testament writers, except for a few, the ones that are included in the Synoptic Gospels would be excluded from that, but most of the writers kind of knew what they were doing. They were skilled at their trade. Specifically, Paul would have been, Luke would have been. These were educated men, so if they said something, they meant it. And if they didn't say something, you couldn't imply in that passage that they meant something other than what they were talking about. They wrote what they meant. And so when the apostle says that we should bear one another's burdens, our worldview tends to think of that we're supposed to help other Christians. But interestingly enough, if you look at the context of the passage, he's talking about what a Christian does in the world. Christianity is really the only empathetic religion on the planet. I mean, there are people that do good things, but the goal of their good things, any former Buddhists in here? Thank you, Andrew. Good to see you. Sue, that's great. And I love Earl. You know that show, you know what I'm talking about. I think that's the funniest darn show on the planet, by the way. And I so appreciate Earl's perspective on life. But, you know, thank goodness we're not trying to do good so we can erase all the bad stuff we've done in the life. It brings my attention to the way I introduced Ron Archer to a group of people once. I just said that, you know, when I first met Ron, we both had shared this out-of-body experience. And we both went to heaven. And when I got to heaven, I didn't know that, you know, where he was, and he didn't know where I was, but I was commissioned by the angel to go up this ladder that went as far as the eye could see. And I was to take this piece of chalk and mark off on the rung of the ladder every time that I had made a sin that I could bring to my remembrance. And, you know, by the time I met all my sins, then I would be atoned and I could come back down. And I was up there a while. I was up there a good 2 hours. I kept climbing and climbing and climbing. And I was almost, you know, done with everything I could remember. And I reached up for the next rung on the ladder, and there was just an incredible shooting pain that hit my fingers. It was crippling. It was just like an arthritic shooting pain. And when I looked up to see what was hurting my fingers, I said, it was Pastor Ron coming down for more chalk. So it was just an inside, you know, inside joke or humor that we can't ever truly make up for the sins that we've done in life. You know, does that make sense? You know, we can't work it out. So Paul's writing on that passage about bearing one another's burdens was really to say that the Christian helps other people, that that's how the gospel is fleshed out, that's how it's lived out, that we get past our selfishness and we get past our narrow thinking and we just become a person of help. And it's written under the Full Life motto like this. It says that we believe in servant leadership. We believe that leadership is born out of serving. And that's our mission, that we believe in. You know, both Sue and I come from a background of service. This is what we do. And, you know, up until the time we've had people set up the donut table, there was a lot of times that we just did it. This is what we see by way of our ministry, is serving one another. But it's not just serving the church, it's serving the world. If you had, you know, Bill Gates just stepped down day before yesterday from the presidency of Microsoft because he's going to become a philanthropist to try to solve a one world problem. And it's noble that he's doing that. It's probably the most Christian thing that I can think of that he has done that's observable in the news. And it's something noteworthy. And the church should be about that business as well. What if you had the wealth of the world? And I've heard Christians say, well, if I had $1 billion, then I would do this. If I had $1 million, then I'd do that. Well, the reality is that you serve the God of all creation, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I have found that when you step out to meet human need, that God is there to meet us, and resources begin to come. If there is anything I believe about where God guides, God provides, it's the fact that our gifts and talents were made to serve, and when we are operating in those things, there's no limit to what we can accomplish if we just set our minds to help. I see the church as being way too exclusive. I see that that the church doors are locked to most people. Do we recognize that there are people in the world that do not understand why you go to church? They only see the building filled once a week, and they don't understand the concept. And the church in America is headed that direction. And I think that it's in danger of taking on a very cold and calculated persona to where ministers are not considered to be trusted or servant-oriented, and God's people are seen as more of a problem than they're seen as doing good. And my hope is to change that as we're talking about these kinds of things. And today, I want to fulfill that mandate in saying that, you know, I believe it's a commission that we're to bear one another's burdens, and thereby we fulfill the law of Christ. The Old Testament goes as far as saying that we are to unbridle those things that are bridled. We're to liberate, according to Jesus' commission in the book of Luke, we are to liberate those that are in captivity, those that are in bondage. We're to be a light in the darkness. We're to be not just an example of what it means to live life in God. We're to be a fleshed out embodiment of what the gospel really is. We're to be human in every sense of the imagination. And I'm not sure that we are. Imagine this. I had a conversation with one of my professors recently, and we were debating things back and forth. And he said something that stood out in my mind, and it's still really prevalent. I'm wrestling on it. I'm chewing on what he had said. But he, when I was talking to him about the point of creation and recreation, and I was speaking to him about the servant ministry that we do, he had talked about how I viewed that in the context of human beings, humankind. I said, well, I hadn't really thought of that. I just kind of thought it was a good idea that I'd write a book at and get rich and go to Bahamas, actually. But he commented on what I had said. He said, you know, you just captured the idea that maybe man in the position of servanthood, that with man being missing in that doing fully what God wants to do. Maybe that's what Paul was referring to when he said that the entire creation is waiting and moaning eagerly for the revelation of the sons of God. And he said, have you ever thought that possibly creation wasn't fully fulfilled without man stewarding it, without man stewarding the universe, without man sitting in the position of the garden tending to what God has created? What if there was something of care, since God is the shepherd? What if there was something, and this is my thought, what if there was something about caring for each other when we look at the if you just for 1 minute consider how huge human need is. And yet, all the answers to all of man's ills are someplace within the scope of creation. And I firmly believe that. I firmly believe that everything to answer all human need is here. I connect that with that widow's story by saying that what she needed to fix her problems was right under her nose. The oil was her oil. And it was right there. It needed a miracle to come upon, that little smidgen of whatever she said. But somehow the Lord's Spirit on that little brings an increase. And I want to connect that idea of just you overcoming your fears of being a person of service, about helping other people in their ills. We get over that because you're not going to be lacking. And I think that the church today has this idea way too ingrained in its head. It's thinking to itself, what about me? And I think that starved, shallow kind of presence is almost a betrayal to the abundant nature of our God, the bigness of God, if it can. How many of you ever seen a real version of the Christmas Carol, like a classic version of the Christmas Carol, where they include the scene where the ghost of Christmas present is a very fat, abundant person, and yet he opens up his robe to expose two starving children that are clinging to his legs? And it's a horrible sight. It really is kind of like, right in the middle of all this, one year I decided, because I had to read a bunch of stuff in King James English, I thought, I'd practice by reading it in an original language. And I can't tell you how we dumb down that part. I mean, it's spooky when you read it, when you realize what he's trying to say. And what he's trying to say is that if people will just dispense the milk of human kindness to care for one another, then we can deal with those problems, because we're kind of getting fat in the abundance of everything and getting lost in the moment, and we're completely ignoring what God has put inside. We are fully capable. You are fully capable of handling the emotional, physical, spiritual needs of the world as it's out there. And that sounds like a big challenge. But nothing will happen unless the church begins to care about something other than itself. We are way too self-serving. And in the midst of it, time just keeps going on, and day after day, hour upon hour, and our lives just fade into infamy, and we are lost in the scope of everything. And we are, at the end of all of it, we feel as though we have wasted our lives. Now, that's probably one of the hardest things that I've ever said. But I think that the church could go for a little bit of adjustment. I believe that the church is in need of a spiritual enema. I believe that we are stuck in every way we possibly can be stuck. And we are sick from the pollutants that have contaminated our souls. And we are hurting, and we are incapable of seeing life emanating from us, or even considering the possibility that it could happen. And friends, for me, the world is a big place. And it's a need for us to stand boldly in all that God has called us to give. I think that the problem with that whole thing that I've just presented to you is the fact, and I could connect this to the widow's story, is that why didn't this woman see what she had? Why could the wife of a prophet not see that she had the solution, or to believe God? Why? What was going on there? Well, she was weary. That's what's going on there. And she was crippling under the weight of the problems that she was facing. She was attacked as surely as any person that I have ever read in the New Testament. I think that she was noteworthy. She is somebody that we should be paying attention to. This is a woman who's losing it all. She had served God with her whole life, and now at the end of it all, she's lost her husband, and now she's going to lose her boys. Everything that meant anything to her in the world. George, this would be like you losing your truck. Just thought I'd put it into context. This is big. I mean, this is big. She's feeling the loss and the weight of it all. A good Christian person crippled by the weight of everything that she's carrying. And I want to make reference to her because I think that that is a snapshot of what is happening in you. That there are burdens that you are bearing that are just flat out wearing you out. And I'm saying that because not because I want to talk you into it. I'm not interested in you being depressed because I don't want somebody to go, you have no idea how hard it is, Pastor John. Yes, I do. Yet Saturday I had to go into work and I didn't think I was at this point, but I guess I was. And I wasn't going to talk about it today, but I really feel like the Spirit saying, say it. But I was up on this floor all by myself with about 48 foot tables that had to be loaded and moved. And anybody ever lift those? It's not, you know, I am committed from Full Life's history that I will buy the lightest weight plastic tables that are possibly known to mankind. But some institutions are worried about cost, and so they buy 2-ton pieces of equipment. And I'm by myself, and I'm not supposed to be by myself. I'm supposed to be having his help, but they didn't show up. And I don't know what got me, but I felt the enemy just kind of coming around me to the point that I was just like, I was having like, I don't want to do it kind of thing. You know, like, if somebody would have been down in the foyer, they would have been hit on the head by an 8-foot table being chucked out the window. You know, I was at that. I was at that, you know, God, where am I? Where are you? There's no, you know, that. Anybody ever been at that point where you quietly, you know? So, never. Yeah. The guy I called, I'll call him Pedro, said, you know, after I had called him on the phone and said, you know, where are you? He's kind of like, well, you know, I'm not coming kind of thing. And he kind of, you know, made it out to be like my problem kind of thing. And I was upset. And then he said, well, don't be too mad. Don't go home and kick your dog. And I said, the only way I'll do that is if I get a new dog and I'll name it Pedro. And then I'll just kick it all around the living room, you know. But anyways, I was overwhelmed by the proposition of, I just didn't want to do it. Does that make sense? Not that I couldn't do it. It's that I didn't want to do it. Because it was like one more thing. You know, it was just like one more dumb thing that I don't want to deal with, you know. Does that make sense? You ever been there? It's like, of course this broke. Why wouldn't it break? You ever had that moment where you're in the kitchen and nobody knows what's going on in the house, and all of a sudden you're having this moment, you know. Of course it would break. It would break on me because it just does, you know. And then you throw the machine across the floor, and everybody's trying to, what happened? I don't know. I just saw the blender going that way. I don't know what. Anybody ever had one of those experiences? I can envision that 2 weeks ago, Scott was trying to help Nate move to Arizona, and his trailer has the wheels blow out and the axle bends. Of course it would, you know, because Scott wanted to help him. And so, of course it would. Why wouldn't it? Why wouldn't it not do that, you know? Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, you ever had one of those moments where the pen breaks in your pocket? And you just is not. The problem is that you're so frustrated by the things that are going on in life that doesn't even shock you anymore, you know? John, you're not wearing pants. Of course I'm not. Why would I? Of course. One nail in the whole road and I have to hit it. You know, it just seems like it's overwhelming. Like it's just overwhelming. And I started thinking about my to-do list yesterday, and I did a lot of work. And yet, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know how to describe it, but it's like taking a dime and throwing it, you know, or throwing just an ounce of water into the ocean and say, there, one thing left to complete it. Now I just got to bail out the rest of the ocean, you know, back. You know, it just seems like that's what's going on, that there's just so much to do. Now, does that connect with anybody that's here today? Can you raise your hand so at least I know that maybe the Lord spoke to me and said, do this. Okay. So I'm feeling that there's something, I want to lift your burdens. And I'm saying that today, that I believe that's my mission today, to liberate you who are in captivity and to make your load just a little bit lighter. And I believe that that's what the Spirit would speak to today about this widow, that she couldn't see the answer even if it was right underneath her nose because she was worn out and she was tired with dealing with it. And she felt like she's the only one who could do whatever it needed to be done, and she just flat out, she wants to quit being herself. Anybody ever been there? How many of you just want to turn in your resignation, change your name, and go move someplace? I don't, be somebody else, right? You know, I'm just so pretty that people would recognize me no matter where I go, so I can't do that. Well, maybe there was something that she needed. She goes to a prophet who tells her what the answer is, and you know, for that moment, by just doing what God had spoken to do, she finds deliverance. Could you open your Bibles to Psalm 37:23? Psalm 37:23. Is this kind of coming to anybody today? I sent people to go grab resources. I won't go long. And again, it's a little disjointed because I'm just kind of putting it together as we're going. I was kind of like, I wanted to do this, but I felt like, Lord, too stupid to quit. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. The steps of the godly are directed by the Lord. The steps of a righteous man are purposed by God. So, Paul, the New Testament says that when you go to a city, don't say, I'm going to be there a year or 2 years, because only the Lord knows what you're doing. And when Paul is converted, one of his first major prophecies was that he would no longer have a say in what was going on in the events of his life. And he becomes baptized in this whole happenstance thing that I talked about. Your circumstantial guidance is where I'm at right now. Being guided by your circumstances. This is the logic that I use that when I tell people that say they don't believe in counseling, and I'll say something smart out of it because that's my nature, like you must believe in divorce then more powerfully, because obviously that's the path you're taking. If you're not going to go get counseling, then that's probably what's going to happen. You know, change comes to the willing. You know, but sometimes our circumstances in life are trying to tell us something, right, about the need for a change. And it was in that moment that the Lord spoke to me while I was up there and having that frustration thing, that there's that gentle whisper of the Spirit that makes you go, oh. But I believe that the Lord has been telling me for a long time that, you know, possibly the things in my life, He doesn't want me to, like, quit them or give up or do anything. I've gone a long way. It's just that you can only do so much, you know. You can only take so much. And I believe that the Spirit was speaking to me at that moment to just kind of say that I have been trying to lift your burdens, but you just keep on carrying what isn't yours to carry. And I was like, no. But the circumstances of your life probably are speaking to you that it's time for a change. It's time for a change. And maybe you can't define that. And your problem is until you can figure out what that is, you're reticent to move towards it, because obviously you have to know what you're doing in order to do whatever comes next. Right? I mean, that's a lot, and that's not true. What's true is that you need to maybe at some point in time, you know, if you don't know which direction to take, it's stupid to keep going down a path hoping that you'll figure it out along the way, because you may have taken a wrong turn. Does that make sense? How many have ever been in that situation before? Where did you end up with on the freeway that one time that you just kept driving that way when you called? Oh, yeah. She ends up in Pico Rivera, and she's, like, supposed to be in Van Nuys. You know, I'm like, how did you get to Pico Rivera, you know? She's coming back from Disneyland, and she ends up in Pico Rivera, not Simi Valley. That's great. So, anyways, and I'm like, you know, and at that point, which is a humorous story all on its own, but I'm like, I can't help you. I'm all frustrated that I can't fix this, you know. I'll drive to where you are. Stop. I told her to pull over the car, and I'll drive to her and then lead her back home. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Then we'll both be lost. But anyway, that was my solution at the time. So maybe you just need to stop and ask for some help about what it is that you're going through. Maybe, you, like this widow, you need to inquire of the Spirit of the Lord. You need to inquire of before you go forward on this next plan, you know. And so the steps of the godly, what, and I'm going to give you, this is a, oh man, this is a hard passage. You got to put your finger here because it's gonna hurt. In the book of Numbers 21. It's Numbers 21, and it's, I think it's verse 5. Numbers 21, verse 5. To not inquire of the Lord and to get the kind of spiritual help you need and to invite help is to really take advantage of that passage. Somebody tell me if I'm on the right place. It's either Numbers or Revelation, you know, but anyway, I'm not too far. The story I'm looking for is the Israelites complaining. Is that it? And if my memory serves me correct, which at times it doesn't, but it should say in that passage, this should be the context, that the Lord's response to their complaints or disobedience was that he sent them fiery serpents that bit them. That's a loving God thing to do. How many can identify just with that when I say fiery serpents that are biting you? Yeah. And so the idea here is that what are they supposed to do? They're just supposed to follow after God. Which seems like it takes freaking forever to get to where we're going. It's hot, tired, manna, stinking quail, sick of everything, just good Lord. Same day, hurry up, why? All we're going to do is walk. Can't even enjoy the trip and get a new pair of sandals because she'd pay for less. Closed. Look at stupid things. They're still as good as new. Hate this shirt. Wore it every day for 39 years. Somebody tries to encourage you. Nice hat, John. Shut up. I wore it yesterday. It's the same hat I've been wearing for 40 years. So it's really hard to just do it all the time. And that was a thought that was coming to me on the fifth floor. I'm kind of like, why is it, and it's not the truth, it just felt like the truth, like why is it that, you know, oh, I remembered to come to work. Why is it that I remembered? Why is it that you can sleep? I have to do this because there's some driven, anal retentive thing. You know what I should have done is just walked away. I was kind of like stupid. Yeah. McKendrick's out. But I can't quit. I'm too stupid to quit. It would make too much dang sense to quit. It would make too much sense for you to quit. But you can't quit. Because there's nothing to go back to. I think this was the heartbeat of Peter. I don't think that the New Testament is written in such a way that we can really hear the dynamic of the dialogue. And one of these days I'll bring you these videos from Vintage 21 so you can kind of hear the sarcasm that these one Christian church is putting on the voice of Jesus, the inflection of Jesus in a situation. But there's lots of stuff that's not in the Bible, and it's not totally inclusive, but you know it's there. And so Jesus turns to the apostles and he goes, after everybody's left them, you guys going to leave too? Now what's recorded is a very noble response from Peter. But I think it would be humorous if we could just go back in time and sit there and kind of get inside of Peter's head for a second. Because if it was me, I assume the conversation went something like this. Well, don't think I haven't thought about it. Work from sun up to sundown, and you take the boat out, and we're over here dealing with the 5,000, and now everybody's gone. I'm not sure where this is really going. But he ultimately gets to a point where Peter says, where else are we going to go? Who else holds the keys to life? It's out of that dumb, rectified trust that we have that God is in control. I don't even know why I did this. I think I did it for some visual that I'm not going to make now, but it just felt good, so I'm going to do it. I'm like, why am I holding on to the music stand? Driving home some point that's not really there. There, this is bigger. It's God. You know, sometimes there's just strength in just recognizing who God is and that we can trust Him. And sometimes that's said out of confidence. But when you're in that place that I was in yesterday, you more just want to slap the ugly off of anybody who even implies it. Do you know what I'm saying? Don't you tell me about God. I know about God. Oh, Lord, it's only me that's serving you. Only me. Where else are we going to go? You can't quit on God, and God ain't going to quit on you. And sometimes there's strength in just following hard after the Lord. Just keep on keeping on. And that thing that you think is a curse, that dumb thing that you think is actually your dumb anal retentive personality, may be an attribute of the Father. It's called tenacity. It's the nature of perseverance, to keep on keeping on. To just keep on when everything else just seems to tell you that I need to stop. Don't stop, keep on. Just for the pure fact that following simply after the Lord, especially in this, to not do that makes it worse. Sometimes those fiery serpents come and they bite at you and you're just kind of like, well, what did I do? Complaining doesn't get us anywhere. Does that make sense? I'm actually getting so tired of complaining. It's not even funny. I'm just tired of hearing it, just from me or anybody else. It's like, you know, for myself personally, it's like I say it, and Sylvia told me the other day, she's like, I'm just tired of complaining. And I don't want to do that anymore, even though it's valid what she's talking about. You know, you just catch yourself at that point where you're like, I want to find something good, but it's just very difficult, you know. Anybody been there? Where it's just hard to not say something negative and things are biting you. So my contention on this is, so he sends fiery snakes, and that takes me back to that one psalm again we were just at, Psalm 37, where I wish I did. Again, this is called, you know, careful reading of the text. He delights, in Psalm 37:23, He delights in every detail of their lives. The steps of the godly are directed by the Lord. Keep on walking. He delights in every step that they make. And though, even though they fall, and even though I'm up there kicking the table, I did what I was supposed to do. I moved those dang tables. I did my job. And I showed up. And that was pleasing to God. Because I'm not the kind of soul that quits. And you're not the kind of soul that quits, or you wouldn't be in this church. You'd be listening to me every week. You're not the quitting sort. And in various ways, you're too stupid to quit too, and that's a good thing. I appreciate it. But even if they stumble, 24 says, they will not fall because the Lord upholds them by the hand. You're making it because God is helping you make it. And you are one step closer to what it is that you're to do, even if it just seems like that's taking forever. The point is that progress is that way. Our hope is there, that the fulfillment, what we're to do by way of God's revelation to us, is that way. And it seems like you're alone sometimes, but you're not. You are in a community of people that want to help you. We don't know how to help you sometimes, but we pray for you. We'll listen to your complaints. We got a few of our own that we can share with you if you're interested. But the premise of full life is obviously John 10:10, that we believe in a full life, abundant life, and that life, and the life that God gives us, we totally hold that He's enough. And I just keep encouraging you that the nature of God is to not quit, to keep on keeping on, in spite of what your circumstances are telling you. They're pushing you in a different direction. Go with God. And you're not alone, because we're in this together. until the day that we are all that God wants us to be. You never have to worry about disappointing me. To those, I heard this recently, and I'm like, where in the world would you get that? But the person said, well, I'm not coming to church right now because you'd just be ashamed of me. I'm like, no, I was ashamed of you before you came to the church. So right now, I'm not really. I'm not ashamed of you. I'm very proud of you and all that you have endured. You have been exemplars of the life of Jesus to me as well. I can't make it without you guys. I can't do it. And you can't do it without me. Is that crazy as that sounds? But I'm going to sow seeds of hope in some of you today. And I'm going to kick that thing out of you because the deliverance from the fiery serpents really comes from the hand of the Lord. And maybe we can go one more day in this thing and be smart about what God wants us to do in our future, to be obedient, even if it seems crazy what God is proposing. Today we're going to be talking about Steve and Ariana are going on mission trips. And it seems insane to pull a kid out of Bible college and send him on a mission field when he could just be doing what God wants him to do there. But Max and others who have done this know when it's time you need that holy time out to get to what God has for you. You know, there are holy interruptions. There are divine disturbances that happen in our life that alter the path of our life. We just have to be sensitive to when God's telling us to do those things. And we can't let our circumstances dictate to us what kind of people we will be because we're people of faith. And we can dare to believe all things, hope all things, trust all things. Does that make sense? I recognize that even like, you know, it would have been by far better for me to talk to like Nate and Aaron in a different way and maybe, you know, well, you shouldn't go, you know, about all those things in there. But I had this crazy idea that it wasn't working for them here and they needed to get to what God had for them, and so why can't we just help them get where they want to go? Does that make sense? You're hearing my heart in this? I'm not trying to mock you guys, I'm just making a statement about, you know, where I'm at, you know? It doesn't make sense sometimes, the things that God wants us to do, but we have to just keep on keeping on. Be persevering people because that's who we are. It's in the nature that God has sown inside of our hearts. That's where God's will and purpose is found out. I'm not gonna turn my back on you as long as you don't turn your back on me, you know, as long as I won't be embarrassed to you if you're not too embarrassed to me. Believe me, friends, you will have by far more opportunity to be embarrassed by me than me by you. I'm here, and I'm still kicking. And I have no idea where this message came from, so I'm probably going to have to listen to the tape to even know what in the world I had to say. But I believe that we're to keep on persevering because the presence of the God is with us. He's delighting in watching us make progress. Wow. Like my smoke screensaver. Sean, could you go to the DVD part and start that Numa thing? You quit that. Hit Apple Q. Hit the play button there. And go up to the top and hit full screen. Is it playing? You got sound? You don't want this, but you need this. To God today, and I'm grateful how it just kind of comes together, and I would remind us all of God carrying us in the trials that we're facing. So maybe we could just pray, and I could just encourage you in what you're going through. For some of you, you need to be looking for ways to bear one another's burdens. It's a little bit of the law and life of Jesus that can happen if you just make yourself available.
And for others of you, it's just responding to that need and being able to openly talk. You know, you don't have to have it all together in this church. You just flat out don't. God cares about you deeply, and He wants to see this work for you. So I just would pray for those of you who just need to be bound up a little bit or built up a little bit, not bound up. They need to be loosed from your bonds, but you need that today, then I just pray that you'd be able to respond to that. May the love of God just be made real to you today, and may you just sense His presence in all that you are experiencing. And for those of you that are responding to the commission, I believe in my heart that as you make yourself available, the Lord will show it to you. So I bless you in the name of Jesus and ask just great grace and favor over you. Amen. Hey, can we take a minute just to pray for Steve and Ariana? They're going on mission trips this week right here. Maybe you guys could stand and come out and tell them. Well, Ariana's going to Louisiana, Mississippi. God, you just need prayer just for that. Showing a Hispanic in Mississippi. If you see somebody doing their laundry out in the yard and they've got their sheets out there, yeah, don't ask the phone the language. Yeah. And Steve, poor Steve. My heart's breaking for you, man.
I'm already crying.
I know. He's going to Hawaii for 3 months. In June. For Jesus. Steve's going to DTS, the Discipleship Training School in Kona, Hawaii. And then he's going to be going to Japan for his for the work part of that. It's a two-part thing. You do one part, you're training. The other part, you're going off. And Ariana's going with a WOW team, a Church on the Way, a world team. And she's going to be doing some Katrina relief. And she's actually kind of mapping out some ways that we could get involved. I had a meeting while I was in Washington, D.C. with a group called Impact. And maybe we can work something out. But praying for both of them. So maybe we could just extend hands and pray. Hallelujah. Father, the scripture that came to my mind today was that story in the book of Acts where both Paul and Barnabas were set apart for a work. And so, Father, we're doing that right now. It wasn't like sending them out forever. It was sending them out for the task. And so, Lord, we just believe that You are going to work powerfully in their experiences, that, Lord, You are going to help them and change them as they change things around them. So, Father, be with them. I pray, Lord, that You would comfort them when they're a little down, missing their friends, missing their family, that, Lord, You would just be their strength and their tower. Father, I thank You for progressives who are willing to take their faith in hand and move forward in life. And so, Lord, I would ask You that You would just be with them. I pray right now, Lord, and from this very small church, Lord, that this would be, again, a release of the full life Spirit, Lord, that they would take grace and Your mercy, the teachings that You have, God, they'd be people who would befriend those, Lord, that You've placed in their path, and that, Lord, You would just keep them from all harm, and that, Lord, You would just give them joy and strength and let them discover all that You have for them. I believe great things for these two, Lord. This year is going to bring a marked difference in their life. I'm believing, Lord, that they will emerge as definitive leaders, and that, Lord, You will roll off the former shame and bring them into a place of power and timely authority. And I ask that blessing on their life in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm proud of you guys. You're going, we're going to just take it if we can. I don't know if we have any offering baskets there, but I'd like Ariana has all the money she needs for her trip. Praise the Lord for that. And Steve has asked that we consider helping him with his plane ticket. I told him that we would as long as it was only one way. So, I'm kidding. He wants to pick the way. But if you want to help Steve with his plane trip, you guys, we'd love to do this. And if you could just put his name in the comment block, whatever the Lord... As a matter of fact, just take a second to consider what the Lord would have you give for that trip. You guys have always been so generous, and we appreciate that. And while we pass out the communion. Max, if you could bring out the baskets and let them go through. Man, I wanted this so bad too, and I forgot all about it. Maybe you could just leave it down the aisle, and they'll pass it around. Max, just maybe give it to them, and then like give one to Marianne, and then they'll pass it around on each row. Hi. Yeah, make it out to FLCC. I think you got a couple up here in the front, Max. There's a couple there. There's a couple here. Well, did you guys need that message today?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't feel so bad then. This is really hitting me. It's good. I'm about to listen to my own tape. I think I was speaking to myself. I actually have a funny story about doing that once. I listened to my message, and I started it out, and I was all prepared to kind of hear what I said. And then for some reason, I dozed off, and I woke up just to hear myself saying, in Jesus' name, amen. So I fell asleep to my whole message. I'm like, wow. Up the price of this one to $7 and sell it as a sleep aid, you know. So, that's pretty funny. Well, Father, we just take communion together as a family. This actually drives home the point, Jesus, that we're in this together. And Lord, I'm thankful for how you have brought... There are people in this church, Lord, that are family to me, and I thank you for them. And Lord, I know that you're doing something big in our midst, and I thank you for the years that we've been able to walk together on this journey. And so, Lord, many hands make the load light. I just pray, Lord, that we would feel a release of your Spirit in this, on the things that we feel so overwhelmed with, that, Lord, you would help us with those burdens that we're bearing. And, Lord, we take this communion, remembering symbolically, Lord, the brokenness of your body, but yet we're part of the body, Lord, the shedding of the blood, but yet the blood that binds us together. So the purpose of the cross was not to end in some lifeless existence, nor to give, we do this communion in some dead ritual. But Lord, we do this in remembrance of that work, that we are part of a new family, a new community of faith, God. And we're grateful, Lord, for what you have called us to do together. And we believe, Lord, that you will help us in what we are facing. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. You can take the bread and the cup when you're ready. Thank you, Lord, for the new life. And thank you, Sylvia, for making communion for us. Amen. God bless you guys. See you next week.